Hey, it's a week 8 NFL review and a Commanders Chiefs Monday night preview on the Shots and Tenier NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy for Monday, October 27th, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He's Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. Our show is brought to you by our friends at Underdog. If your fantasy team is decimated by injuries, Underdog is a great way to get back in the game. And I thought that I'd found something great in Cam Scataboo.
What? We all did.
But there you go. Decimated by injuries. Even halfway through the season, your team could be decimated by injuries. So Underdog saves you. Make picks using everything you learn from us on the show. Sweat the games. Win cash when your picks hit. New customers can play $5 and get up to $100 in bonus funds or entries when you use promo code FTN to sign up. Terms apply, and as always, please play responsibly. And don't forget, if you're watching us live, which if you're listening as a podcast, we do this live on YouTube at 11 a.m. on Mondays and Thursdays. You can ask questions and make comments. We were going to wait to talk about the Colts, but we'll take the Colts question first. Todd Singer says, can the Colts really be considered a top offense when they haven't had a single receiver reach 100 yards in a game this year?
Todd's trying to slide this one in. This is a humble brag.
Yeah, it's a humble brag. They are spreading the ball around. I'm surprised that Tyler Warren has not had a 100-yard game. The Colts, so it was National Blowout Week. Mm-hmm. Yes. Every game except one was a blowout this week. They won 38-14. But what's more important for DVOA is that the teams they've played this year won big. Denver won big.
Okay.
Miami won big. Yeah. The Chargers, who they clobbered just a week before, won big.
Right.
So the Colts move up into the number one spot this week and are now the seventh best team and fourth best offense through 8 games.
Wow.
They are on all cylinders. And I had someone respond to me on Blue Sky saying, you know, the Eagles are 6-2 and they've played a tough schedule. The Colts are 7-1, but they don't have a signature win. I'm sorry, but that victory over the banana Chargers was a signature win.
I mean, it's going to have to qualify as a signature win. And it was a good win against a very banged up team. But you mentioned all the teams they've beaten who won big, including the Dolphins, heaven help us. You know, they've swept the Titans. They beat the Cardinals. A lot of the teams that they beat who are horrible, the Raiders, are on bye. And these teams are still awful.
Oh, yeah, but it's adjusted for that. I mean, for playing those teams. But they've clobbered those teams. It's not like other teams are like, we'll beat Tennessee by a touchdown or something. And the Colts are like, 38-14, thanks for playing, la, la, la.
Remember the year, and I'm going back to 2006, when DVOA was broken because, like, the Texans and somebody else and the Titans were so bad that they were impacting. I think they were impacting the Colts. Like, they were actually.
I don't know. Do you think the Titans are that bad this year? I mean, they're the worst team in the league, but I don't know if they're that bad.
They are uncompetitive almost every single week, like comically bad. And the Raiders are close to that. And the Dolphins on their worst days are close to that. I think this bottom rung of teams is like the, in that forgotten your yesteryear season, this bottom rung of teams is so bad, and they've played a group of opponents, including the Patriots, including the Colts, that I think is creating a false read with some of these teams. I don't want to minimize the accomplishments or say these teams aren't making the playoffs like the Colts and Patriots, but I think that's how bad these opponents are.
Well, in a couple of weeks, the Colts play the Chiefs.
Yes.
Is that next week or the week after?
Oh, it's a couple of weeks down the road. The Colts get...
That's going to be good.
Steelers...
When the Colts play the Chiefs, that's going to be good.
Steelers, Falcons, who are flatlining, bye. And then you get Chiefs, Texans, Jaguars, Seahawks, Niners, Jaguars, Texans, where depending on who's healthy and how the Texans, like if Nico Collins is healthy, for example, the Texans, how difficult that schedule is. But it is tougher than what they faced so far. And also remember what that Broncos win looked like, folks. I just want to throw that one out there, too.
Yes, the Broncos win was the one with the weird penalty and the all kinds of craziness. The Every game this week except one had a 95% post-game win expectancy or higher.
Even the Jets-Bengals?
No, that's the one. That's the exception. And the exception of big moves in DVOA. Denver up 6.
Wow.
Chargers up 7.
Okay.
Cowboys down 11. Falcons down 9. What happened? You posted this morning that you watched the Falcons-Dolphins this morning. Falcons-Dolphins. What? Do you? How much do you think it was Kirk Cousins and no Drake versus having no Drake London versus something else?
It was that because, I mean, Cousins was standing there like a statue. They didn't have London. They were forcing Bijan to block every third and long. They abandoned the run, I think, earlier than they had to. There was all kinds of just unserious Falcon stuff. Every special teams play had a penalty. Half of them were Felipe Franks. So it's like they're getting backed up to their 5-yard line. They're giving up yardage on the other side to the Dolphins. It was just ugly in all three phases. Let's put it that way. The defense didn't play well against one-eyed Tua.
Yeah, that was conjunctivitis Tua. It was interesting. So I was going to ask you what which blowout loser you think is in the most trouble? Not counting the teams we knew were bad, like not counting Cleveland or Tennessee or whatever.
Right.
But of the teams that we thought were actually competitive and were like 3-3 or something.
Yes.
Which blowout loser do you come away from those blowouts this week saying, oh yeah, that's the team that's in that this game shows they're in trouble?
Well, I can't go with the Falcons because no one's believed in the Falcons since 2017. So they're kind of unserious. I'm going with the Vikings because they have existential dread at quarterback as to whether J.J. McCarthy is any good, if he's in this middle of a confidence crisis, or if he's simply going to be a permanent injury case. Factored in also, Dallas Turner, their other first-round pick that year, was playing terribly in that game. They're looking at the situation where the top of their draft boards for the last couple of years, half of those guys are gone. They're not on the roster anymore. And they have to start wondering, did we actually just make a big mistake with how we handled this?
They are 19th right now on defense. The Vikings, the defense is supposed to be, that's the calling card of that team.
Yes.
And that defense has been very mediocre this year. And that's why I would be, because not only do they have existential dread at quarterback, but the thing that's supposed to carry them through, it's supposed to be our defense is going to carry McCarthy until he gets it.
Yes.
And not only have we not seen much McCarthy, their defense isn't carrying anybody right now.
No, they're weak in the secondary. They're weak at cornerback. And a lot of the guys they tried to draft in those positions haven't come around as well.
Michael Allen Brewer says, I actually thought Tanier's trash panda over was going to hit. Yeah, our rule is don't bet on Falcons games. And you bet the over on the Falcons, which was 44.5. Mm-hmm. What was the final total again?
It was 44. And I was stuck late in that game. I'm sitting there. I tweeted about it, bleated about it, whatever. I'm rooting for Kirk Cousins to do the Kirk Cousins thing at the end of the game where he gets the touchdown to get his stats to look good. And he did, but it was only one. And so, like, I am the degenerate at the bar. Like, go for two. Go for two. Onside kick. Get it. The Dolphins were in field goal range at the end of the game, but they kneeled on the ball.
They sat on it. We talked about there was one game that didn't have a 95% post-game win expectancy. It does have a reverse post-game win expectancy. We have the Jets at 34% to beat the Bengals, which is interesting because the Jets actually had a higher yards per play and more plays. But the Bengals were a better passing team, and usually the better passing team wins. They had a higher success rate, 57% to 54%. So the system looks and goes, the Bengals would have won this like 2/3 of the time. The Jets won. And good for the Jets.
Yes.
Good for the Jets to get off the schneid and win a game. Good for Justin Fields to sort of prove himself. I mean, against the Bengals defense without Trey Hendrickson, that's not a lot of proving.
Right. Right. They were playing without Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, though. So they had problems on their side of the ball as well. This looked like the belly up situation. And at what was it, 38-24 in the fourth quarter?
The thing to me about the Jets this year has been that their defense has been really bad.
Yeah.
Because that is because that is what's supposed to be good, right? It was like, oh, our offense is terrible, but our defense at least should be good. The defense has been bad. They have too many good players on that defense to be that bad.
To be that bad. And that was the formula it was supposed to be. We'll be a running and defense team, and that's how we'll stay competitive as we figure things out. They were a running team yesterday, certainly. Breece Hall and like something we talked about, like their young offensive line, when they can tee off, looks really good. When they can tee off, when they've got to go pass protect for Fields or Taylor or whatever, it's a different story. But you can, that's something they can start hanging their hat on, assuming they can get any momentum out of this weird, weird victory.
No, I have a feeling there's no momentum. I mean, right. It's a cultural, oh, we're not going to go 0-17 win.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Like, I think, like, so I've read some things about, like, oh, is Aaron Glenn in trouble? You're not running your team right if you hire a guy to be your head coach without any talent around, and then you fire him after 1 year because there's no talent around. Like, what do you expect Aaron Glenn to do?
A, have you met the Jets?
Ugh.
And B, you mentioned it. The defense was supposed to be good. There was enough talent there where you would, if we wouldn't be having this conversation about with like a 3-5 or 2-6 Jets team or whatever. So, you know, and it doesn't help when he spends the week acting like the head of the secret police about who's going to be his quarterback. That's not going to win you friends in New York.
Brandon Brobst notices that Pittsburgh and Baltimore are now neck and neck in the DVOA playoff odds. That is true. If you have seen the DVOA playoff odds, now this is the Ravens rating is with Lamar Jackson back,
right?
With the assumption that he'll be back either this week or next.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Ravens are now our slight AFC North favorites, 42% of the time, 39% for the Steelers, and surprisingly 18% for the Bengals, who have put an offense together. I mean, with Flacco, their offense has played well.
But it's Flacco to Chase, Flacco to Chase, Flacco to Chase, Flacco to Chase. They are running the ball a little bit better too, but I don't know how sustainable that is. This is part of, yes, we can see the Ravens come back because with Snoop Huntley, they played well yesterday. It's also partly we saw what the Steelers looked like in the third and fourth quarter, and I'm sure that's reflected in the statistics.
Yes.
Bad. That game turned out, even though at halftime it was extremely competitive.
And the other thing is the Colts are now the Super Bowl favorites.
Oh, my God.
Because they get the number one seed 53% of the time.
Holy cow.
The Chiefs are a better team. We think the Chiefs are a better team. If you include preseason priors like the Dave rating, we think the Chiefs are a little bit of a better team.
Yeah.
But the Colts are so good now, have been so good, and they are, what is it, 2.5 games ahead of the Chiefs right now? So let's assume after tonight it'll be 2 games ahead of the Chiefs, that they're very likely to get the one seed, even if they lose to the Chiefs when those two teams play head-to-head.
And I guess the Bills are stuck with their head-to-head loss with the Patriots at 6-2, so that in all the simulations they wind up in the situation where they don't always win the division,
right?
And they're in a some sort of tiebreaker bind.
Although you felt like the blowout yesterday was the Bills sort of reestablishing themselves. Okay, we're sorry we had a couple of weird games there, but yeah, we're really good.
Yeah, and here comes the Panthers, who are advertising themselves as a super physical in the trenches team. And the Bills are like, no, we're the physical in the trenches team. It's just that, like, we go out there in these games and try to throw 700 swing passes to Khalil Shakir, et cetera. And, like, our run defense had this weird node for a while, partially injuries, but partially I don't know what was going on. They showed the difference between, like, their sheer talent level and the talent level of, like, you know, your 500-ish team in the NFL.
Ryan Wilk asks if he should play Isaiah Pacheco or Bill Kroski Merritt tonight in a 0.5 PPR league. Now, we are not the best at giving fantasy advice, but I actually did have a thought about this.
Okay.
If you are far behind and you need a big day to win, take Pacheco because he's more likely to score a touchdown. If you're close and you just need a medium day, take Kroski Merritt because he's more likely to have more touches,
like ring up a couple of points here and there on that PPR. It makes sense.
Yeah. If you need like 8 or 9, then do Bill. If you need either 4 or 16, do Pacheco.
Does the name Bill make the song "Won't You Marry Me, Bill" pop up in your head instantly, or is that just a me problem?
Oh yeah, that's a, you're calling back to Laura Nyro. Yeah,
Laura Nyro.
That's who wrote that song. Yeah, it was originally covered by
Fifth Marilyn McCoo or
something.
Marilyn McCoo?
Marilyn McCoo, is that who it was?
Won't you marry me, Bill?
Yeah, the original singer-songwriter is named Laura Nyro.
Wow, okay.
He also did Eli's Coming, which is another good football song.
Yes! Well, Eli's gone.
Well, Eli's gone, except for in many, many advertisements.
A lot of commercials. Almost like he owns a production company or something. Let's move on.
He does. Michael Allen Brewer says, do we have any more of those unfortunate throwback uniform combos coming up? I mean, there were some good throwbacks this week. Denver throwbacks, good.
Yes. Yes.
Eagles throwbacks, good.
Yeah.
Like Chargers, I'm not a big fan of the dark blue throwbacks because when the dark blue was their regular uniforms, we always said, why don't they go back to the light blue? We like that better. So now that the light blue is the regular uniform, I saw people who were like, I like the dark blue better. I think people just like whatever's different. The light blue is better. The light blue.
But no one likes the fighting sticks of butter. So let's get rid of that.
No one, yeah, don't do the bananas. And the Steelers based on 1933 was, you know, interesting, but...
The divorced deadbeat dads in the chain gang at the side of the road uniform, get rid of it. And the naked pants, get rid of it forever.
I wonder what did they wear when they were the Steagles in the carpets in 43 and 44. Those would be fun throwbacks.
They probably wore their street clothes, man. It was World War II. Everybody was conserving stuff. They were just out there in like sweaters.
Yeah. Let's look at the DVOA top 12. 12 is very tied basically between Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
Okay. Pittsburgh's got to be slipping.
But Pittsburgh is a little higher than Jacksonville in the weighted DVOA. It's Jacksonville that's slipping more than Pittsburgh is.
They're both slipping.
11, they dropped four spots just based on opponent adjustments changing. Washington.
Okay. Because of the Cowboys dropping?
I think some of that. Yeah. And the Giants. Have they played the Giants yet?
The Giants dropping, let's interrogate this briefly. Washington has faced the Giants. That's one of their wins. They have a Packers loss. A Falcons. The Falcons have to avoid.
Falcons is a big one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Philadelphia 10.
All right.
Buffalo up to 9.
And rising.
Denver up to 8.
And rising. Offense looked good.
Houston up to 7.
And rising. Offense looked like it existed.
Nico. I think we finally saw the San Francisco defensive injuries.
The defensive injuries, and also on offense that they could not get anything going early, so it was 13-0.
Yeah, and they couldn't run with McCaffrey. McCaffrey did not have a good game at all.
They couldn't run with McCaffrey particularly early. They had a bunch of penalties early. It was a mess. Let the Texans take a lead on you. They're a different team.
Green Bay 6.
And should be rising.
Chiefs 5.
Yeah, tonight's
Rams 4.
Yeah.
Detroit 3. Mm-hmm. Seattle 2. And the new number one, the Indianapolis Colts.
I do have to point out that the opponent adjustments are dinging those Patriots.
Oh, yeah. The Patriots are only 17th.
Right.
They are 13th in weighted. Because their two weakest games were the first 2 weeks. Even though they beat Miami in week 2, Miami is so bad that their loss to Pittsburgh in week 3 looks better than their win against Miami in week 2.
Interesting. And 13th, I mean, if you said 10th, 13th, that feels right.
They don't feel like a top 10 team despite being 6-2 because all they do is beat up on tomato cans. But you give them credit. They beat up on tomato cans. Like halftime, it was 9-7, and it was like, oh, this is a real challenge because this is a real defense. But shouldn't they be winning by more than this? Like they let Cleveland have a drive.
Yeah. But,
and it turned out that was all Cleveland had. One drive.
Cleveland had a drive. There was a turnover early. There's a couple of their drives stalled. And then they realized they were facing a bunch of guys with names like Gage Larvardian.
Yeah. The Dylan Gabriel, I kept posting, it was the Dylan Gabriel complete a pass to a wide receiver challenge. Dylan Gabriel, 2 for 9 to wide receivers. Jamari Thrash had 2 catches, one of which was all yak.
Okay.
He didn't even throw to Jerry Jeudy until late in the game. Christian Gonzalez just zeroed Jerry Jeudy out of the game.
Which is
completely gone.
which is unsurprising because Jerry Jeudy's not particularly
not a great wide receiver one, but he's so clearly the wide receiver one on that team that this was the first time all year that the Patriots used Gonzalez on one guy specifically.
Well, they almost could have used him on Fannin. They could have used him on Fannin.
Isaiah Bond was 0-for-4. No catches, four targets.
Isaiah Bond, the undrafted rookie. One of many undrafted
rookies. Although undrafted because he had sexual assault charges that were later dismissed. He would have been like a fourth round pick or something.
Yeah, yeah. But like a really good.
But still, fourth round rookie. Still.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been down there with like Fannin, maybe.
Monday Night Football. Your 3-4 Marcus Mariotas. Against your 4-3 Patrick Mahomes's. You don't normally have a 3-4 team play a 4-3 team with an 11-point line, but I don't think people, which is interesting because Mariota has been reasonable this year. Yes. Like, I think Mariota is reasonable in that offense. I think, you know, Jaden Daniels is better than your average NFL starting quarterback, but I think Mariota is better than your average NFL backup. So I think the drop from Daniels to Mariota is probably about what the average drop is in the NFL, but the Chiefs look so awesome right now that, you know, DVOA still thinks the Commanders are surprisingly mediocre.
Right.
They're 17th on defense, which no one, like everyone thinks the Commanders have a terrible defense. DVOA thinks they're 17th. They're also second on special teams.
Okay, they're kickoff returning because they'll throw Debo out there to return kickoffs.
But nobody has faith in that defense. No one has faith in Mariota. They're 31st against tight ends. So if you're waiting for Travis Kelce to have a big game, this could be it. They are a surprising 7th in ESPN's pass rush win rate. But they just lost Dorrance Armstrong for the year.
Right, and he's probably a pretty large part of that. What's the system say with this big line?
Once I adjust for Mariota, it likes the Commanders to cover very slightly.
Mm. And you get McLaurin back, finally, and I think Debo is healthy.
Debo is back.
With the program. I think of Mariota as like Snoop Huntley. Like, that's sort of the range that you're going in. Like, he's going to put the effort out. He's going to roll out. He might give you a few yards. Yeah, the Cowboys game was silly time immediately. Pick six, and it was doofus time.
And it feels a little bit like this could be one of the Chiefs play with your food games, where they take their foot off the gas, and the Washington comes within 10 at the end, or 7.
Yeah, I'm feeling the backdoor cover. Chiefs are going to win. That line is a little inflated, I think.
Kyle Murphy says Commanders are also bottom of the league against slot receivers, so Rashi rise to the moon tonight.
Right. And, of course, it's Andy Reid. He can put whoever he wants in the slot. They can just – they'll throw Hollywood
there. It's actually been interesting this year because Sane Ristil has been playing in the slot, which he was supposed to be a really good slot corner coming out of college. And then last year, they were forced to use him on the outside, and he had a nice rookie year. This year – Sane Ristil is doing what he was supposed to be doing when he came out of college, and he's not having a good year.
He's not having a good year. Also, if it's not Sane Ristil and they're matching somebody else up there, then there's a real problem. And that happens a lot when you're playing mix and match against the Commanders.
The one thing maybe Washington could take advantage of, the Chiefs are the worst defense in the league against play action this year.
Random.
They're allowing 12.3 yards per attempt. Definitely could be a very small sample size random
thing. I mean, I can't imagine that's a real weakness, whether that's small sample, handful of plays, handful of situations. But fake the handoff to Bill.
Yeah. Go long to Terry if he's healthy. If he's playing, he should be good because he's good. So.
Terry McLaurin
could not playing at like 80%. But so if I had to pick this game for betting purposes, I think I would go with the Commanders as the underdog. Notice the line has moved, by the way. Okay. A couple days ago it was 12.5, and now it's down to 11. So the money has come in on the Commanders to cover.
Right. 12.5 was a big line. And I still think it's pretty big.
But I don't feel like the Commanders have much of a chance to actually win this thing. I feel like the Chiefs may play with their food a little bit late, but they'll take a lead and they'll be fine.
Yeah, this is like a 31-21, 31-23, something like that. I think that's where the victory line is.
Camden Cap says the Chargers game one really hurt Kansas City's play action stats. That is true. Yes. A lot of the bad play action stats is week one against the Chargers. Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And the Chargers are, I mean, listen, one of the weaknesses of DVOA is that I don't get so intricate that I change the opponent adjustments for every player that comes in and out of the lineup. And right, the fact is, Chargers without Joe Alt,
yes,
which is what the Colts faced, is different than Chargers with Joe Alt, which is what the Chiefs faced and what the Vikings faced.
And Omar and Hampton was out there, and they had other things at the beginning of the season they don't necessarily have now. It is a different team. But if you did that, you'd be introducing too much subjectivity to what's supposed to be an object.
Right. I mean, even if I did it just for quarterbacks, it would be a lot of extra work, to be perfectly honest. It would be a lot of extra work, and then trying to do it for other positions would just introduce a lot of subjectivity.
Yes, so, a lot of subjectivity.
We use our brains, and we know who faced who. And obviously, this will be a big deal when we get to the end of the season.
Right.
And some teams have faced Lamar Jackson and some teams have faced Cooper Rush, but you know.
But you'll also have weighted DVA. So it's like last four, five, six games, the other stuff falls off the back.
Yeah, and like the change, like the Ravens winning this week made it so the Patriots no longer look like they have the easiest schedule ever. Because by the time the Patriots play the Ravens, they'll get the Lamar Jackson Ravens.
Okay.
Still ridiculously easy schedule though. I mean, you look at, they showed last night the next five games for the Patriots on the NBC broadcast, it was like four teams with losing records in Tampa.
Right. Oh my God.
They play Atlanta next week. What if Penix isn't back and they're playing Kirk?
Right. And what if Penix is back and he just sucks? Penix got shut out a couple weeks ago. You know?
Yeah. Atlanta's all over the place.
Right.
Kyle Murphy says, I see Kareem Hunt was cleared and holds no injury designation. Do you think we still continue to see Breshard Smith's role increase? Mahomes has said good things about Breshard Smith in the press. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they're different. They have different roles. A Hunt is a battering ram.
Yeah.
And Breshard Smith is the pass catching back. And then Pacheco is sort of in between the two.
Right. Right. And Smith has played very well. I guess if the goal line touchdown thing is a question, but given the choice at the goal line, I'd give it to Pacheco. And also, they're the Chiefs, and they run 6 million different
shots. Right. Noah Gray will do a wildcat sneak.
Right. Something like that.
All right. That does it for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening on the podcast. Don't forget to like the show and subscribe to the show and watch us live on Mondays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. And use Underdog Fantasy with code FTN and use the FTN Stats Hub at FTNFantasy.com and read Mike's Substack, MikeTenier.substack.com. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight, and we will be back on Thursday to preview Week 9 in the NFL. We are almost at the halfway point. Until then, I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, everybody.